Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to IMSA Radio, our live and exclusive coverage from the second of the three practice sessions at the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We've got quite a bit going on this evening with a couple of races in between this practice and night practice. It's the third round of the Mazda MX-5 Cup. The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup and the new Porsche Carrera Cup North America. That's their first round. That's all this Thursday afternoon. If you are in the States, evening in the UK. Don't forget, if you're looking at the schedule on IMSA.com, in the States, the clocks have sprung forward. Not so in Europe and the UK. It's a little bit overcast this afternoon. Cars just moving into the pit lane now. There'll be green flag in about 7 minutes' time, and it's all live here on IMSA Radio RS2.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Shea Adam and Jeremy Shaw with me for this session. Jeremy in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, absolutely socially distanced. Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter, and that's where we'll check in first of all. Hello, Shea. Good afternoon.
Hello, John. What a beautiful day in Sebring for race cars, isn't it? A bit warm today. The first practice session, the ambient temperature was only about 73. I'm waiting for our official Michelin update, but what I've heard, there's a 9 at the start of the temperature as it is right now. So much warmer conditions for this second practice.
So this is our first coverage here. We've been keeping an eye on the entry list. As people are coming to us for the first time, if they didn't hear Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday over on our sister channel, RS1, what are the differences? What are the things the same? Let's start at the top of the shop in DPI.
DPI. Well, we have the 48 back again. That is the car being shared this weekend by Jimmy Johnson, Kamui Kobayashi, and Simon Pagenaud. They have a very different looking pit crew for the race this weekend than they did at Daytona, feeling that that was their weak point, the team being run once again by the Action Express guys. So you'll see them pitted alongside the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac. Other than that, in DPI, no major changes to any of the driving lineups.
And what, 7 cars there? Le Mans prototype LMP2, there's 5 of those. What are we looking at there?
We've got a slight change, to the cars than we had at Daytona, that being the 22 United Autosports Orica. They're running for the first time this weekend. They're going to be back for the remainder of the endurance race weekends. It's driven this weekend by Jim McGuire, Wayne Boyd, and Guy Smith. Welcome back to the IMSA paddock, Guy.
2003 Le Mans winner for Bentley. Very interesting, that entry. Very interesting. LMP3s. That's 3, 6, 7 of those as well.
Which was unexpected, because on the initial entry list, there were only 6. But we did get Wynn Autosport bringing 83 Duquesne out to play for Matt Bell, British variety, not American, Rodrigo Salas, and Nicholas Cruton making his IMSA debut. We have the usual suspects in one of the Riley Ligiers, Jim Cox, Dylan Murray, and Jerome Bleekmolen. But again, a change in the 74, the car that won Daytona. Scott Andrews two of the drivers who shared that driving lineup were supposed to be sharing with Felipe Fraga. They've elected to keep Spencer Pigot in the car once again this weekend. So he's going to be running at least this endurance race as they try to go for the Michelin Endurance Cup as well. They scored maximum points for Daytona. We did have another driver change lineup as far as what we saw at Daytona. Performance Tech brings back Rasmus Lind and Matteo Llorena, but they have also brought Dan Goldberg, a name that we're familiar from running in the IMSA Prototype Challenge Series. He's making his big debut this weekend. And then first, car number 7, 47 Motorsports, that's Jim Norman, Austin McCusker, and Oliver Askew sharing that car. That car was actually on its way out of the racetrack, heading back north after competing in the race last weekend. They couldn't fill the seats, but a little magic got sprinkled on it, and I'll let Jeremy elaborate a little bit more later on. And all of a sudden, we've got another car in the field.
And GT Le Mans 5 entries, two Corvettes, two BMWs, and the WeatherTech Porsche, exactly as we expected there, Shea.
Exactly as we expected. And for the first time this year, we get Matt Campbell and Matthew Jaminet sharing in that Proton Competition Porsche. They are going to be two of the full season drivers, at least they are going to be the other two full season drivers alongside Cooper McNeil, jumping back and forth between which one is sharing with Cooper based on whose availability on any given weekend. But we welcome Matt. This is his Sebring 12-hour debut. He did win the WEC race here, though, a few years ago.
Fair point, one made. 13 GT Daytonas. And what's worth mentioning there, Shea?
We're going to have to get used to not calling it the 48 Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini because they are the number one for the entire year,
right,
since their number was reallocated lent to them.
Yes.
Reallocated at Daytona. Well, well put. As far as driver changes, though, we do have quite a few to note. One that even was announced this morning, Misha Goikberg will not be participating in the GRT Lamborghini. He's been replaced by Stephen Simpson, an illness keeping him out of the race car this weekend. So, Misha, we wish that you get well soon. Stephen, who found out about a day and a half ago that he was going to be driving the GT car, has very little GT driving experience. He has a lot of time in prototypes and a lot of time in TCR cars, but he's having to come up to speed with this Lamborghini. We found out a couple of days ago that Ryan Hardwick would not be driving in the Wright Motorsport Porsche. That's the beautiful blue, black, and white one. Instead, Trent Hinman jumping in that car again. And again, this is a little bit of continuation, trying to go for the Michelin Endurance Cup. So Ryan electing instead to focus on the Sprint Cup, he'll be back in that car for Mid-Ohio. A couple other driver changes that were a little bit of a surprise to me on the entry list. Ross Gunn is once again in the heart of racing Aston Martin. I thought it was going to be Darren Turner, but apparently there is some discussion amongst the team who will partner with Roman De Angelis for the remainder of the season. So I really hope that we get to see more of Ross over the course of this year. The other driver in that car, of course, Ian James. Yeah. For the 75, that is the other car that was another big surprise for the entry list. Sun Energy One Racing takes the best pit box as far as GTD is concerned this weekend because they are the car with the most points that actually came to this race. Well, Mauro Engel was one of the drivers of the Rolex winning number 57 Windward Autosport Mercedes. He is now with Sun Energy for this weekend alongside Kenny Hebel and Mikhail Grenier. And then the other two cars that we have to talk about, because they used to be one car, Hardpoint Racing, EBM. They have an 88 and they have a 99. The 88 is Kat, Christina, and Bia. And Bia, happy birthday. The 99 is Rob Farrell, Earl Bamber, and Trenton Estep.
That's pretty tidy there. Just a note as well, again, well done to everybody at Gradient who impressed everybody so much running that Sun Energy one car, that they are back again. Green flag for an hour and 15 minutes, although not everybody gets an hour and 15 minutes. This is the one that I never talk about because I always get it entirely wrong. How good is it to hear the big V8s? So, Jeremy, I'm quite impressed. We, you know, a few people, as we've heard there from Shea, deciding to do additional races, put more stuff on their schedule, given the current situation, as we have been seeing for a wee while now, getting on for a year. Absolutely stunning. Let's celebrate everyone that's here, particularly those people who are some nice additions.
Yeah, absolutely right, John. Hello, everybody. Great to be back with you again on IMSA Radio. And it is a good entry list. Yeah, not as many cars as at the 24 hours at Daytona, but that's, of course, always to be expected. A lot of the European teams take advantage of the early part of the season to come over here for Daytona to do that race. But you know, certainly weren't planning on doing this one because the WEC season season should have been underway in not too long from now.
Yes.
Great that United Autosports is here. As Shane was saying there, that's a tremendous addition to the race this weekend, a relatively late addition. And that car will be back for the other races this season. And United Autosport certainly looking to expand on their, extensive operations already in Europe. And they've now got a sort of the beginnings of a base over here and are planning to run a lot more regularly than in the past. So that's extremely good news. That other in LMP3, that the other car there for the 47 Motorsports machine, Jim Norman and Oliver Askew. Jim Norman has bought a car. Jim Norman, he's been around this sport a long, long time. Dr. Jim Norman, a parathyroid surgeon who's made a big name for himself in that sphere, but also has been racing for years. He's driven Lamborghinis, he's driven PC cars. He did the Rolex 24 four or five years ago in a PC car, and he has bought an LMP3. He took it to one of the existing teams to prepare it for him to get it ready for this race. Well, they called him on Monday and said, sorry, the car's not ready. So that was when the wheels started turning, and as Shane was alluding to, the 47 Motorsports team, they were planning to run this race, but Austin McCusker was their only confirmed driver. And they'd kind of given up and had already left the racetrack when they got a call from Jim Norman. And they hurriedly turned around, brought it back, and here they are ready to go. And Jim Norman and Oliver Askew are hoping to do several of these races together. Oliver is kind of coach Jim Norman. So a great addition, I think, to that LMP field as well. So, yeah, all sorts of good news all the way up and down the field.
The IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship then underway for this 1 hour 15 minute session in total length. I'll let Shea tell you all about who's going out when and where in a moment. If you'd like to get in touch with us at IMSA Radio on Twitter, use the hashtag RSL Sebring. Now, have I got that the right way around, or was it Sebring RSL? Stand by. I just saw the responsible adult tweeting that in a moment or two, and now I can't find it. Yeah, you see, I'm out of practice. Been such a long gap. This is our longest gap of the season as part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels, and we haven't even had Bathurst in the middle of it, of course, this year. So at IMSA Radio, anyway, if you want to get in touch with us wherever you are in the world. And that comes up on the screen here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Out goes the rumbling, out goes the chrome, green and flame number 75 AMG Mercedes, the GT3. That is the Sun Energy car. Looking splendid. A little bit overcast in the distance, and the wind is blowing at around about 15-16 kilometres an hour. 32 Celsius in the air, 31 on the track as per the official numbers. Shea, remind us who's doing what in which parts of these sessions, please. Because I'll let you see it, because I just let it wash over me. I know we've got cars for another hour and 10 minutes, but you can tell us which of which variety.
Okay, well, this one is more complicated than most, and I'll elaborate on that in a second. The first 30 minutes of this session, GTD, you can only go out if you're bronze or silver. LMP3, you can only go out if you're silver under 30 or bronze. And LMP2 is bronze only. After 15 minutes has elapsed, or at approximately 2:10 in the afternoon, so 10 minutes from now, everyone will be allowed onto the track as far as cars are concerned. So then we're going to get DPI and GTLM. At approximately 2:55, the session will end for the non-pro classes, if you will. So then it will only be GTLM and DPI. So basically, if you're an am, you're out on track now. If you're a pro, you're out on track later.
Okay, seems reasonable. Hello to Nigel Dobby. He said, just as I was handing the car, the hire car, over to the Platinum driver, so she could go off and do her own thing this afternoon, which I think is very funny. It was 88 Fahrenheit, which is just over 31 Celsius. So that sort of works with what we're seeing from the track numbers. Meantime, out in the artichoke fields, hello to Kevin Brink. Just a nice temperate 22 Celsius, around about 72 Fahrenheit there. Hello to Sarah Rigby, who'll be very excited to hear that Ross Gunn is drafted into the Aston Martin. And if you want to get in touch with us, it is at IMSA Radio. Hashtag RSL Sebring is the correct version. So I did actually get it right the first time. It has been quite a long time, Jeremy, for some of these teams, because obviously the last time we were out in competition was at the Rolex 24 Daytona. I suspect that quite a lot of them have not been idle in that time.
No, there certainly hasn't been. There's not been much racing for most of these guys, but most of them have been here for some sort of testing or done something. You're right, but I'm sure there's a bit of rustiness here. Some of the LMP3 teams were in action last weekend for the second round of the IMSA Prototype Challenge Series for 2021, but they had a pretty good field actually. I think 20 cars were here for that. And so there's a couple of drivers in this field that were also there. Certainly several of the teams, most of the teams actually took part that weekend. So they got some good data to draw from. But for many other teams, you know, it's been pretty quiet apart from just a little bit of testing, I think.
Thanks to Alex and the team again up at Charlotte from NASCAR Productions, making sure we can see all around the Sebring Raceway. And also helping get you lovely stereo ambient sounds and sound effects. The sound of the flat six from the Pfaff Porsche coming through loud and clear at the moment, with still an hour and 6.5 minutes to go. And who's on board that car? That is Lars Kern. Lars, very proficient racing driver and Nürburgring Nordschleifer specialist. All kinds of production records he set for Porsche. Big moment in turn 17 a moment or two ago, underneath the bridge and over the bumps for the rumbling number 75. That's that Sun Energy One car. Kenny Abul behind the wheel of that AMG GT3 car, in a very chrome green colour. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all who celebrated yesterday. All is right with the world, Jeremy. We're talking about cars on track at Sebring, and it's St. Patrick's week. You know, this is great. I love it. What a great start to the season. Well done to IMSA, to Sebring, and all the competitors. We're having races on the weekends. They are meant to be.
Yeah, that's right. That certainly is good news, isn't it? Of course, we're supposed to be joined by WEC this weekend. That was called off some time ago. So it's just a regular IMSA weekend, if you like. But it's super to see a lot of people here on the infield. I spoke to quite a few people who are at the track in the paddock. And they say, you know, it's great to see a really good turnout already for this weekend. And it's only Thursday, yet the main race, of course, is Saturday. And, you know, for the COVID-19 pandemic, it's hit the world pretty badly. But in Florida, they haven't been, they've hardly been shut down at all. Somewhat controversial decisions, I think, by the governor, but thankfully it seems to have paid off. They haven't had nearly as many effect as had been feared. And we see an incident there between a couple of the...
Jan Halen in the number 16 right Porsche, and trading paint with Rob Ferriol in the number 99 Team Hardpoint ABM car. Was up at turn 13, I think, Tower, and heading on to the far side of the circuit. Don't see that any damage has ensued from that, but that was very aggressive.
Just about got away with it.
Yeah, I think they did. Jan Heerlen obviously didn't want to be held up. Coming down into turn 17 now, and Hart are racing Aston Martin, the number 23 now in behind Rob Ferriol in the distinctive hardpoint car. The white hind quarters, the grey centre section, then the light blue, and then white on the front again. Andy Blackmore has worked his magic. Spotter guides up and available at the track as well, if you're listening to us at Sebring. They will be available at the circuit. Absolutely invaluable. Always up here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Andy, I know you'll be listening wherever you are. And we thank you for your hard work. Bit of a race breaking out here between one or two of the drivers through Big Bend and down towards the hairpin. Very good turnout trackside, as Jeremy was mentioning. And I know that the RV places went pretty quickly, and they all seem to be, well, if they're not all filled already, it's not far short. And a reminder of what Jeremy said there, for those of you perhaps who only come to us for the big races in IMSA, and we understand that, it is race day on Saturday. Race day on Saturday, and if you're looking from further afield from the United States, remember the US have sprung forward in their time zones. So all their clocks went forward an hour last weekend. Most of the rest of those who change, it will happen this weekend. And in the UK, that means right at the end of the race. It goes from 2 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the morning in a blink of an eye. We lose an hour. But that means that if you're in Central Europe, the time difference to Florida is only plus 5, and in the UK it's only 4 hours ahead of local time. If you're getting a bit confused about that, if you go to imsaradio.com, scroll down to the bottom, all of our on-air times are there, and they will auto-convert to your time zone that you're using in your computer or your device browser. Now, Shea Adam, Mystic Shea as we're calling her, is telling me that there's going to be a caution in the next 3 minutes. And this is nothing to do with you being able to tell me the lottery numbers for the weekend, Shea. This is actually in the sporting or the supplementary regs, at least.
No, it's in the tarot cards. I'm reading into the future and looking into the crystal ball. Yes. So they have made a slight change to the full course caution procedures for this weekend. And this was as a result of what we saw at Daytona. Now, when we go yellow, the process is that the pits are closed. Then there's a pass around to get, in effect, the leader to the safety car and then people who are trapped in between. Then the pits are open for the prototypes. Then they're open for the GT. Then there's something called the final wave by before there's something called the DPI class split, which basically gets all of the Daytona prototypes back to the front of the field and tries to keep them all together so they're not weaving in and out through traffic, causing danger to everyone else if they don't have to be. Now, if they pitted after everybody else has pitted, there are several institutions where we could have a DPI in traffic, but the idea is to try and keep everybody a little bit more sane and a little bit more grouped together. For this race this weekend, they've started something called a prototype class split, which will take place after the DPI class split. They're practicing it during practice. Now, in the driver's briefing, it said that this will be practiced between 2 and 2:10, of which we have 10 seconds to go before we reach that time mark, in the second practice session, and between 8:15 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. in the night session. Wow. Now, things are a little bit strange right now because the DPIs are now getting the green flag to go out on track. So we don't actually have any of them yet.
Here they come.
But I'm wondering if IMSA held it off a little bit to try and incorporate the DPIs. But basically, we don't get yellows in practice. We go to red. Well, we're practicing a yellow.
I don't have an issue with that. I think that's sensible, particularly to make sure that everybody knows how it's going to happen. The DPIs are out on the circuit, led out by the Whelan Engineering red and white Cadillac, the Ally number 48, the white and shades of purple car, following it out onto the circuit. They're going through a big bend now. That looks like the Konica Minolta Acura. Just about got that one right. Following them through as well. So we're in this middle period now where we've got everybody. Have got everybody out yet? Or is it still not quite? I don't know. Yes, everybody is out. This is the old skate bit. See, this is why I let Shea mention that. Hello to everyone tuning in. Yes, it has been a long time. Hello to Ian McCarthy, loving the sounds from the track, and to Robert Mitchell as well. Enjoyed the sounds of the air guns that we heard earlier on, just reminding everybody we were getting ready to go. Yellow flag is out. We have a full course yellow. Kenny Habul came in about 4 seconds afterward, but he may well... Oh, actually, he may well have come into a closed pit. The safety car is a white, red and dark grey C8 Corvette, and that is at turn one. Double yellows over the start finish line. And whilst we're talking Corvette, Jeremy Shaw, some very different shades on the two GT Le Mans Corvettes this weekend. And for a moment, actually, I thought that safety car, with a little glance at it, was the number four car in the tyre wall. No yellow at all, Shea Adam, on the Corvettes this weekend. We have silver and white and white and silvery type of thing.
Yes, and I am indebted to Ryan Smith. Thank you very much, Ryan. I said if I was at the track, I would go find a yellow sticker and put it on the Corvettes, just because he sent me back a picture of Antonio Garcia's Spanish flag on the roof of the number three and said there is still yellow on the Corvettes.
Very good.
And then Tony DiZino pointed out there's yellow on the Michelin tires as well. So they are still branded with some yellow. But yes, this silver representing 25 years of a partnership with Mobil 1. And that in and of itself is worthy of praise, considering that Corvette Racing has won Sebring 11 times. They're looking to make it lucky number 12 this year. And yeah, doing it with some slightly different colors.
In the Corvette Corral, Velocity yellow and Millennium yellow, still two of the most popular colours that there are out there. Hello to Keith and the rest of the team up in Charlotte. Thanks again to them, and we thank them in advance for all of the hard work this weekend. Plenty going on, by the way, whilst we get this safety car practice underway, including the first two rounds of the new Porsche Carrera Cup North America, with the race debuts of the brand new Type 992 Carrera Cup cars, putting in times that are a smidge away from GT Daytona's. Very impressive indeed in the testing last week. And looking forward to that first race later on today. Mazda MX-5 weren't meant to be here, but the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup will have their rounds 3 and 4 here, taking up some of the time that Jeremy mentioned had been allocated to the WEC. WEC should have been doing their prologue last weekend and then their first round of the 2021 season this weekend on Friday. Obvious reasons, international travel being difficult. They've now changed twice, and that season will not start until the Spa round. Le Mans has already moved to August, and that has made a bit of a difference to one of the American teams, actually, in that Corvette with Ollie Gavin and Antonio Garcia will now only be doing a single WEC race, the prologue and the Spa round, before the substantive team go with two cars in August, if that race can take place. And Ollie earlier on in the week, and he's very excited to be back behind the wheel of a Corvette in Europe. And I have a suspicion that that will be very closely monitored, that test, that prologue test, and indeed the Spa race in a few weeks' time. So the C8 safety car has picked up the field. Not a leader as such, because we are practicing at the moment. Times right now, not really important, because this is only practice. So we've got some cars, Jeremy, pulling out of line here. And this is the prototype split that's going on now down the back straight, down the Ullman straight, past the support paddock pit at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. Generally speaking, up until now, we've had, when there's been a full course caution, there is somewhat of a class split before the restart. It really only, I think, generally only amounts to the DPI cars going to the front of the field. Now they're going to reclassify the other P2s and P3s as well ahead of the GT cars. So it's as a result of the fact there's been various incidents and shufflings around in previous races. I think it's a good move, except for the fact that the GTLM cars in particular have been, and the lap times would suggest they're going to be faster than the LMP3 cars.
Yeah.
So the LMP3 cars are going to be kind of at the tail end of the prototype cars when we get back to green flag racing, or in this case practice, and it's still going to be pretty tricky in there, I think. But at least there's less shuffling around than would be normal. So I think it's definitely a good move by IMSA, and this is an experiment to make sure that the system works.
Yeah, and as
we saw at Daytona, there will be a split start for the race. So the prototype cars will be front, and there'll be a separate safety car or pace car before the start of the race for the GT cars, kind of 20 seconds or so further back from the tail end of the prototype field, and then we'll get the race underway. And incidentally, that same procedure will be in effect in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series as well, where there will be a separate start for the TCR field, as distinct from the GS field at the front of the two different classes there in Pilot Challenge.
So just a little bit of a nip and a tuck to the sporting regulations for IMSA. Big thank you, by the way, and I missed Roger out. Roger Vincent up in Charlotte, who'll be working very hard for us this weekend. Always difficult with so many miles between us all, but it's a great team up there. The last 13 months, the last race we did on site, of course, that would have been Daytona last year, but certainly since we went back to green flag racing in the real world in July, been great rapport between everybody up at Charlotte for NASCAR Productions, ourselves here at IMSA Radio Show Limited, thanks to Tim Gray, Nick Damon as well, who've been working hard on the tech at this end, and of course Tyler Norling and his IMSA technical team, who have also been making sure that everybody at the track can still hear us on the PA as well, which is a fantastic collaborative feat. Now, the safety car lights are out. So when did that open, closed, etc.? Let me just scroll down here. How far can I close down? That's taken about 5 minutes, hasn't it? Maybe a little bit more. A bit of an issue for the AutoNation number 60 Acura. Right front locking up where I wouldn't have expected to see it. Back to green flag across the line. This is practice. Although if you're down at turn one as the three DPIs sweep through there, you might not have realised that Conway, Jimmy Johnson and Alexander Rossi weren't battling for the last lap of the race, Jeremy, as they took off there extremely competitively, those three prototypes.
Yeah, it was all a bit close, wasn't it? Look, they're having fun, all right. They really are getting ready for the race there in terms of what they need to do at the first corner. So a good race breaking out here. And that number 48 car, good to see that car back again. Again, the original plan was really just Daytona as kind of the second in C, but the drivers had so much fun. Ally had so much fun as well at the Rolex 24 at Daytona. They decided to come back now for all of the Michelin Endurance Cup races. So we will see that number 48 car in action through the season in the long distance races. It's just tremendous news.
Jimmy Johnson, Shea, really making no bones about the fact that endurance racing is something that he would like to do quite a bit more of. And he's been, you know, fulsome in his praise of his time at the Rolex Daytona 24 and wants to do more.
Yeah, and how about this for a stat? Jimmy Johnson, rookie. He's never raced at Sebring before. He's tested here in the IndyCar that he's going to be competing in for Chip Ganassi Racing later on this year. I believe their first race is only a month away. But Jimmy Johnson, who retired from NASCAR, not racing, is now trying every new form of racing he can get his hands on. And it looks like we're going to be seeing the seven-time champ back again at Watkins Glen, where, again, he's going to have to realize you don't just turn right when you exit that long carousel. You actually have to go through the boot. And to finish off at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta for Petit Le Mans, this is going to be a fun year for him.
I love this, Jeremy, because, of course, when you run a full Cup season, any of the NASCAR drivers, there's not really a lot of time to do anything else because they race all bar a handful of weekends. Jimmy Johnson now relieved of that pressure and those dates filled in well in advance in his racing calendar. Why shouldn't he? He's still clearly got pace and he's still clearly a doughty competitor.
Yeah, and a total enthusiast as well. That's the great thing about Jimmy Johnson. I mean, he just wants to do this. He's not doing it because the sponsor wants him to do it, or he didn't go to the sponsor and say, "God, you don't want us to run extra more races, do you?" I mean, there he was, chomping at the bit, loving it. And of course, it's all going to help his time in the IndyCar, quite frankly, because he doesn't have, well, he has basically no open wheel experience or nothing substantial in the last 20-odd years. So, yeah, it's a very steep learning curve for him to get ready for the IndyCar. This is a completely different car, obviously, to the Dallara he'll be driving in the IndyCar series. But it's still a car with downforce. It's got plenty of power, much as a Cup car, certainly. But yeah, it's got a lot more characteristics that are going to help him in terms of getting ready for his IndyCar campaign. So, yeah, hats off to Johnson.
And of course, it is a Dallara as well. The chassis is still a Dallara, so he does his racing this year with the same chassis manufacturer. Across the line, another little gaggle of cars, including the 01 for Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing, Scott Dixon behind the wheel. How about this, by the way, for a top four? Loic Duval for the number 5 Mustang Sampling JDC Miller Cadillac with a 148.7, 149.3 for Scott Dixon in second in that 0-1. Jimmy Johnson has just pitted with a 151.7 and a 151.9 for Alexander Rossi in the Konica Minolta Acura ARX 05. Duval, Dixon, Johnson, Rossi. Mouth-watering, Jeremy, to be quite honest.
Yeah, cool, isn't it? That certainly is interesting. And then in fifth place, Ben, good old Ben Keating. Good for Ben. Quickest in the
P2
cars.
Good point.
Yeah, the P2 car, yeah. And only half a second ahead of Stephen Thomas in the Wynn Autosport LMP2 car. That's car number 11. So a good effort by both of those two. Stephen Thomas, who's driving, he's a co-team principal at Wynn Autosport along with Bobby Golodzinski. And Stephen struggled here in the PC race last weekend. He was never really in the game. He had a whole bunch of drive-through penalties like that during the weekend because he couldn't get his head around the pit limit for some reason. But he struggled for pace as well, but clearly not struggling for pace here in the P2 car. That's a really good effort. A 1 minute, what's his best time so far? Can't see that.
I think that's Thomas.
Couple of cars off at the side of the road, and that's up at turn 10. Now, was there contact? Oh my goodness me. Coming from a very long way back.
Well, I think what happened there, John, I think he was just taken by surprise. In fact, those two cars have presumably just come out of the pit lane and really weren't up to speed, I would assume.
So John Ferrano for Tower Motorsport was one of them, ironically, a Tower corner. Everybody's got moving-ish again, but I don't think John's back up to speed, is he? Yes, no, he is. Yeah, okay. What was the... Shea, did you spot the other car that came in backwards? Was that the number 11? Was that the Wynn Autosport car?
Curse of the commentator, Jeremy was talking about Stephen Thomas, and that was him whose rear brakes locked up when he was going into 13. So, yeah, awkward.
At 10, at 10, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
So not Tower.
I think he must have just... I mean, I can only assume that he must have been just taken by surprise that the other cars just weren't up to speed yet. I mean, that's halfway around the racetrack, so one would the logical assumption is by then they should be pretty much up to speed. But either that or he just forgot to break, one of the two.
Kamui Kobayashi out on the circuit, moving slowly, coming out of the pits. He's just letting one or two people go through. Or has he got a problem? He's going very slowly indeed. Is that left front wheel? Perhaps not quite on properly there, but he's certainly not up to speed around the far side of the circuit, coming to the Jean de Biarn bends and down to Le Mans corner before he turns left onto the back straight. Or has he had a spin and done something nasty? WeatherTech Porsche off at turn one, and a bit of rally crossing for the Michelin tyres on that car, and that at the moment is in the hands of Matt Campbell, the number 79 white with the red and blue swooshes on that. Just a quick note, by the way, it is only, I believe, Shea, correct me if I'm wrong, Shea, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, or pits and paddock, because it's only the WeatherTech cars that are using the main pits this weekend. Everybody else, including last weekend, I think the IPC used the back straight pits, but the other support series this weekend, are they all using the back straight pits?
Yes, that is correct. Everybody else is on the backstreet pits that were built a couple of years ago for the World Endurance Championship, just at the entrance, if you will, is just before turn 16. And it's about 3 miles around the track. So from the start finish line, it's quite a good distance. But yes, WeatherTech alone is in the normal pit straight, which means that everybody's got a little bit more space for their boxes and they don't have to worry about disassembling bits and pieces in between sessions.
Yeah. So they can do a bit of pit stop practice if they want to, actually, in the pits. Kobayashi has made his way back to the pit lane. Looks like, Jeremy, it might be a little bit slippery out there. I've seen quite a lot of very good drivers, indeed, with cars at jaunty angles recently. So I'm not sure if that wind is causing a problem as it's blowing across the circuit, or whether the track is still evolving, but rather more sideways action than I'm used to seeing from these guys. Maybe they are still knocking the rust off, eh?
Well, you know, it is quite windy, certainly, but it is pretty hot as well. 31 degrees
good
ambient temperature in Centigrade, which is, up around high 80s, I guess, probably, isn't it?
So
it's, it is, that's going to affect the track quite significantly. I mean, Sebring is always a track which is very much temperature dependent in terms of how it affects, how the cars are affected. And just for example, last week conditions were pretty good here. They were sort of comfortable temperatures at times fairly fast. If you look at the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, which will make its debut later on this afternoon, the first race of this new Porsche Carrera Cup of North America, which is very, very exciting. The cars here at the test were going probably a couple of seconds quicker than so far this week. And that was effectively their shakedown test. First time those cars had run in anger. Now they get back, it's significantly warmer, and lap times are a good bit, fair bit slower. So that's just one of the things that we've become accustomed to here at Sebring International Raceway.
Yeah, and if you didn't hear it earlier on on IMSA Radio, Dr. Daniel Ambrush, to the man at the head of Porsche Motorsport North America, giving us some of his time earlier on this week and saying those times at the test were achieved despite the fact that every team and every driver were told, by the way, there are no new 992 tubs in America. So crash a car and damage it, you're going to be out of the first weekend. And so you might have thought they were taking it relatively easy for that. So fair point well made about the heat and the track conditions. Jeremy Shaw is with me, John Hindorf, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. We've got just under 40 minutes to go. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock reporter. We mentioned that LMP2 was being headed by Ben Keating for PR1 Matheson Motorsports. That continues. He's just gone back out again and is running around in that number 52 car. And good news for anyone who's following Ben and that car, Shea, is that that is now a full season effort.
Yeah, news coming through today that Ben Keating and Mikkel Jensen will be the full season driver pairing for that car. I do want to get a word from Ben at some point this weekend. Remember, he won the race back in 2017, I think it was. He became a Sebring 12-hour winner. So it'd be good to hear from him. But yes, still out in that car, still out around the track and back for a full season in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. I've wanted to say that for about a year and a half now about Ben Keating. We missed him when he went and ran a full season of WEC, but he just can't stay away.
And a new nose was being brought over the wall, I think I saw, for somebody. Who was that, Shea?
Yeah, a couple of cars with a little bit of remedial service. The 38 of Dan Goldberg, again, making his debut this weekend. He got a new nose. I didn't see if he'd actually hit anything, but you would assume so, given the rhinoplasty that was going on for the Performance Tech machine. And the 48 did make it back into the pit lane. That is the Kamui Kobayashi then-driven car. The mechanic's going to work on the right rear of that car. But of course, and keep this in mind too, it's new for them, for this pit crew, because they've elected to go with boys who are more from the NASCAR side of things, who are more familiar with how to do quick pit stops. They're not the normal mechanics for the Cadillac, so they need to be told what to do on this car. They're not as familiar with the car as, say, the 31 crew is.
Meantime, at the end of pit lane, spin at the final corner. I'll come back to the car being pushed down the pit lane in a moment. This is the number 7. That is one of the LMPs and has done a nice flick turn and got pointing back in the right direction for the 47 Motorsport. That's Jim Norman's car. Now, is that Jim that is in the car at the moment? Didn't hit anything, just got off kilter with the bumps, I think. Yes, it was Jim, by the way, in that Duquesne. Knee Norma. Duquesne took over the Norma concern, and everything now is known, whether it's one of the older cars or one of the new cars, all known as Duquesne. Now, let's go back to the car that was going down and what looks to me to be behind the pit wall. Shea Adam is looking at that. That was another spin at the final corner. I'll get to Shea at our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock. That's the 22, which is the Jim Maguire-driven United Autosport Orica LMP2. Exactly the same place, almost a carbon copy of what Jim Maguire did. Sorry, carbon copy is because I've just made myself a cup, thanks to Tubbs and everybody from Sacred for getting some beans into the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre in every sense of the word. That happened right in the middle of the corner. Flat spotted his Michelins. He's in the pit lane. Shea, update us on the car that was moving not with internal combustion power. And as we don't have hybrids yet, that means it was being pushed by its mechanics.
Yeah, probably, 0.8 of a horsepower between the mechanics who were pushing him. John Ferrano going back behind the wall for the Tower Motorsport LMP2 machine. This car finished second at Daytona. They lead the Michelin Endurance Championship. And this is important because after Daytona, no points for LMP2 or LMP3, making it so that if you want to enter the full season championship, you don't have to run the most expensive race on the calendar. So that is worthy of reiterating. But the Tower Motorsport car was the car that was caught by the number 11 when it had that lurid spin out at turn 10. So that car number 8 probably going behind the wall to make sure that there was no more severe damage when the two cars came together.
Shea Adam, our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock reporter. 35 minutes, give or take, on the session. But of course, we do have that last little bit for the GTDs, the P2s, and the P3s.
Yes, so we've got about 20 minutes more for GTD, haven't we, before the final 15 minutes.
Correct. Exactly so, Jeremy. So far,
I'm having a hard time. Excuse me, John. I'm having a hard time getting used to these new Corvettes.
It's not right, is it? I'm sorry. No, it really isn't.
No, they look pretty sharp. But,
Grenier's just gone to the top of the GT Daytona times for Sun Energy One in that number 75 car. 2:01.11 actually. Canadian who, well, in some ways I think was a bit of a lost talent in the Oatman Wheel rank. Still not 30 years old. Good to see him in that car, Jeremy. And another string to the bow for Mick Grenier.
Yeah, and from the wonderfully named Stoneham-et-Tewkesbury up in Canada, great name. He had some success in Formula BMW, and then the Star Mazda in those days, now Indy Pro 2000, had a win at IRP, actually, Indianapolis Raceway Park, as it used to be, now Lucas Oil Raceway. Everything's changed, isn't it, these days. But he was out of racing for quite a long time, but then made his return to racing in 2017 when he was racing in the Porsche Carrera Cup in Italy, and now he's got this opportunity to drive back in North America again for the first time in a while. And they had that fantastic run with this team at first time out at Daytona, and he's certainly, I think, enjoying his opportunity to drive with the Sun Energy One team again. Here might be different colours, but looking to they would effectively coming in here second in points in the Michelin Endurance Cup, but with the car that won at Daytona not being here, there's a good opportunity to extend their lead. What would be a lead?
Yeah, absolutely. And he, that car, remember, still being run by Gradient. They did such a good job at Daytona. It was a great battle at Daytona in the GTD category. Well, how many times have we said that? BMW engine in the background. That is the number 25 car. Bruno Spengler is top of the pops in GT Le Mans in that M8 GTE for Team RLL with a 157.464. Right up behind one of the Porsches. That's the number 9 Porsche, which is sitting a little bit further down the timing screen for Pfaff Motorsports. GT3 car, of course, GT Daytona car. BMW and Team RLL only committed, Jeremy, to the longer Michelin Endurance Cup races. All kinds of rumours about what they might be doing and trying to get in the frame, as you might imagine, for a rumoured BMW LMDH or hypercar programme. And you could do a lot worse than handing over any programme to a Team RLL. Change at the top of, what was that, P2? Yes, it was. Tristan Nunes for win Autosport, Jeremy, to the top of P2 with a 150.689. So he's put a little bit of daylight between himself and the rest of the field there.
Yeah, and Tristan Nunes, I mean, he's a star, isn't he? He's been driving, of course, for the Mazda factory team pretty much since he went pro. He was he came up through the ranks in IMSA, won the prototype lights championship as it was back then, and then he was kind of the sleeper in that Mazda Motorsports team. He's still part of the organisation, but not driving for Mazda and prototypes this year. And in fact, nobody could drive for the prototypes for Mazda beyond this, apparently, because they've already announced that programme will cease at the end of the year. But he's a youngster who is tremendously talented. And even though he didn't have the name, kind of the name recognition as most of his teammates at Mazda, he was very, very well respected. And he's certainly settled in really well with this Win Autosport team, and Stephen Thomas and Bobby Golodzinski has given him the opportunity. Oh. And the 25-year-old is grabbing it with both hands.
So action areas today, turn 17 and turn 10. The blue number 18, Aero Motorsport, that's the Bremont Watches, Edex Sport and Motul sponsored car. Dwight Merriman, Kyle Tilley and Ryan DL sharing that car. That's just gone around. Oh my goodness, almost reverses straight into one of the Lexus doing here. Austin Powers 26 point turn to get pointing in the right direction and go down the start finish line. And that has now happened. And
Ish.
And there's another off. That was the off at turn 10, which I think was... Was that Montoya that spun in the 60 at turn 10?
No,
it was one of the LMP3 machines.
All right,
it was the
sorry.
83, actually.
Yeah, okay. I saw the 6 on the side.
83, of course, has a lot of provenance in IMSA racing. I asked Bobby Golodzinski last night. This program for the 83 car, by the way, only came together a couple of days ago, literally. Rodrigo Salas, Matt Bell, and Nicholas Cruton. But I asked him, why 83? They said, Bobby Golodzinski is actually part of the NPTI Nissan team that won this race nearly 30 years ago now. Sorry, Bobby. But everybody worked for NPTI or NIPTEC, as it was known in those days. It was just a huge budget operation, best of everything, and many, many great people came through that organization, Bobby being one of them, having the opportunity to bring this car. The drivers wanted a couple of different numbers which weren't available, and they said, what's available? Bobby found out number 83 was available and said, hey, that's a lot of provenance there at IMSA competition, so let's go 83 and
It's Jeremy Shaw in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre with me, John Hindhoff. Under half an hour to go now. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, keeping across what's going on with some news on Aero Motorsport.
They did not have an ideal session to begin the day, went out in FP1 only to have a TPS issue, which ultimately resulted in them going back to the garage for the majority of the session. Kyle Tilley was behind the wheel at the time. He was also behind the wheel during this brief spin a few moments ago. But as I pointed out to Kyle, he was getting very sad about the fact that they lost a complete session. I said, hey, didn't you guys have an issue before Daytona too? And that perked him back up. It did. They went on to win that race. And then since then, he and Dwight Merriman have become Asian Le Mans Series AM champions as well. So 2021, not going too badly for the two of them and the Aero Motorsport machine when they start off with a rough session. But also, you might be noticing the pictures of that car that you're seeing on social media. It's no longer wearing Owen's livery as the young Canadian designed it. It's now back in blue. Yeah. But Ryan Dial and Kyle Tilley deciding yesterday the car needed some lucky lightning bolts back on it. So there are some white accent lightning bolts on the side of that machine once again.
I'm calling that ERA. It's ERA, isn't it?
ERA.
Right. And is it ERA, not ERA?
ERA is what I understand. Let me text Kelly and just get confirmation.
Jeremy?
Yeah, I think so. There's no more English racing automobile.
Well, no, I know. I saw some. I saw a press release about some new BRMs earlier on this week, and that made me very excited. V16s, and I thought, "Oh, great! They're building the hypercar." Oh, no, okay, it's just new recreations of the old cars. I got very, very excited about that. So ERA, not ERA, for that car that Shea was talking about. At IMSA Radio, please, and the hashtag as well. RSL Sebring, if you want to get in touch with us. A reminder that the full race will be live on Sirius XM on Saturday. It is a Saturday race. We've got warm-up for you as well on Saturday morning. Just to make sure everybody is ready to go after they've put the car away on Friday night. Confirmed, it is ERA and not initials ERA. So I have heard people talking about that, and I was pretty certain that, I think it was Kyle actually told us that at Daytona, which seems a lifetime ago. 55 Mazda around the outside of Big Bend and around the outside of the number 19 Lamborghini. That is the Grasso Racing Team car that has now Stephen Simpson in that car. Listed as South African on the entry list, but now naturalised US citizen, along with Frenchman Franck Pereira and Tim Zimmermann from Germany. Misha Koichberg with an unspecified illness. Whatever it is, Misha, we wish you well. Hopefully you'll be back in the paddock soon. That was a very late call there to get Michael into the to get Stephen, sorry, into the car for that GT3. Another new fastest tap. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
No, just to add very quickly, he would have been here doing spotter duties, so he'd be delighted to get the opportunity to drive behind the wheel, climb behind the wheel again. Can't remember the last time Stephen drove a sedan car. I mean, obviously he'd be driving the
TCRs.
The TCRs, yeah.
Has he driven a GT car before, Shea?
Nope, he hasn't. I was texting with him earlier and he said he got the news at 6:30 yesterday morning. It's a new challenge because after all of his years in endurance racing, and we're not going to say how many that is, Stephen, you're welcome, it is his first time in a GT car.
Good one to jump into. Very, very user-friendly. And it has to be said, into the shark pool of competitiveness that is GT Daytona. In IMSA, starting to get a bit competitive as well at the top of LMP2. Mikkel Jensen for PR1 now with a new fastest time last time around, a 150.224. Kevin Magnussen, by the way, now in the 01 Cadillac Chip Ganassi racing car, that holds the best time by around about a tenth of a second, 147.6 against a 47.7 for the Whelan car, which has Peter Durrani behind the wheel, number 31. Sebastian Bourdais in the pits for the third place, number 5. Red and white Mustang sampling car on a 48.5 for Juan Montoya, who's out in the number 60 Mershank Acura. Mazda in the pits. Jay Bond brought the 55 in, 149 flat. That car's best time. And wrapping up the 6 DPIs that we've seen is the Konica Minolta black number 10 with a 49.805. Now, so who have we not seen then? Everybody up to speed? Pretty much. Down the back straight, the number 60 having a wee bit of a battle with United Autosports number 22 last time around. And again, forceful driving from Juan Montoya. We would expect nothing less, Mr. Shaw, even in a practice session.
Yeah, that's right. That you just mentioned, Mikkel Jensen went quickest, yes, in LMP2 there. That was on that last time around for number 52 car, PR1 Matheson Motorsports. So just ahead of Tristan Nunez by 3 or 4 tenths of a second. Fastest time in LMP3 is the number 91 car. So Dylan Murray has just gone fastest, I think, in LMP3. It was Spencer Pigott who had been setting the pace in number 74 car. So it's now the sister Riley Motorsports entry that is fastest as an off for another LMP3 car.
And that is the core. White, tangerine and
core
grey. The core car, number 54, not with a bamboo door, very much carbon fibre, I would have thought, on that. And behind the wheel of the 54 is George Kurtz at the moment, one of two bronze drivers, Colin Brown being the gold. But by the way, as I mentioned, Kevin Magnussen, Mikkel Jensen as well. Scandinavian coverage, particularly for those in Denmark again this weekend on the same channel you would normally get your Formula 1, with Jens Henson and John Nielsen bringing you the coverage. And talking to Jens earlier in the week, and hopeful that they'll be doing as many live Danish language coverage of the broadcasts for the TV station over there as don't clash with Formula One. So very exciting that that's been extended beyond, I think, what was just originally a one-off at Daytona, but a lot of Danish and Scandinavian interest in IMSA this year, obviously. Jens and John doing a fabulous job. Michael Christensen is helping out as well, or has been helping out with the commentary. Seem to have had quite a bit of Danish influence in my life over the last couple of weeks, working with Tom Christensen for the launch of his book, Mr. Le Mans, with an exclusive on RS1, which is now available as a download at radio-show.co.uk. And also did a Royal Automobile Club members night as well with him. Zoom call, of course, nowadays. Tom has been on sparkling form. Sebring, of course, a place where he was tremendously successful. And one of a number of circuits, when you can say that. Not just Le Mans, although with his 9 victories, rightly called Mr. Le Mans. Down into the last 18 minutes. So, shit, who do we lose from the track next? In 3 minutes' time?
LMP2.
Right.
LMP2, yep. LMP3, and GTD.
Right, okay. Fantastic. So that will leave GT Le Mans and DPI for the last part of the session. Effectively, the 2 full pro classes, yes?
Yes, and I want no complaints about traffic in that session because there shouldn't be any.
No. Yes, but we're going to have 12 cars or something like that.
Yes.
Yes, okay, fine. Well, Safari Segudi, as I said earlier on, have we had the Tower Motorsport car back out since it went behind the wall shade, do you know?
No, we have not. John Ferrano is still showing up as in the pit lane, and that car has not snuck back out onto the track. So we'll see them again for night practice, and hopefully we'll get an answer as to what went wrong.
And the other car that we haven't seen much of is the number 48 car that was out early on, wasn't it? That was one of the cars we saw right at the beginning of the session. That's completed only 6 laps in this. Well,
and that was 5 by Jimmy Johnson, and then Kamui Kobayashi took that car over and did a very slow lap as we wondered what the issue might have been, and that car's not reappeared then.
It hasn't. And the other car that's done very few laps would be the Magnus Racing number 44. It's completed only 9 laps, and only 10 actually by number 60 Meyer Shank Racing Acura as well, but that's, I think it's just gone back out onto the racetrack.
Christensen corner, turn 3, and we have a ballet from one of the LMP3 cars, and trying to do a flick turn, managed to spin it round all the way again. Is it? Right, okay.
Performance tech.
So that then... Now, had they just come out?
No, ah, red flag.
That's Matteo Larena, a Guatemalan driver. And, yeah, he looped it. This sort of light red, white and black. Now he's got it in the right direction. Clock will continue to run. Everybody under a red flag has to come back to the pit lane. Sitting 4th in class, by the way, at the moment, that car. As it rumbles through Big Bend under the Mobile 1 walkover bridge. Looks like, well, I was going to say, has it already had a new nose? But I think actually that is... It has it? I was going to say, difficult to say whether that's part of the colour scheme or not, because it actually doesn't look too bad, because there are some black highlights and accents on... Can't have black highlights, can you? Black accents on the rest of the car, but that looks like it's an unpainted, unwrapped nose on that number 38.
Yeah, it is. That car, which came back in under the guidance of Dan Goldberg about halfway through the session, actually did need the nose change. And Matteo Llorena, who's behind the wheel of it now, has been out there for a little while, just trying to get up to speed. He and Rasmus Lind shared the car at Daytona, where they finished sixth in the LMP3 category. But this is a new experience for Matteo, a rookie to Sebring. He's run in FIA F4 and Super Cup, but does not have any experience of prototypes at this track.
Hello to Owen Mildenhall and to Martin and the rest of the team at Mazda UK. No, you'll be tuned in. They're obviously following Ollie Jarvis and Harry Tinknell. Smashing day, or part of the day for me with them today. Behind the wheel of Mazda's first series production full EV, the MX-30. And what a little beast that is. Mazda being very brave, I thought, giving us a whole bunch of B roads, country roads to run around in that, rather than nice long straight highways. And it handled it with aplomb. Fabulous fun to drive, particularly with the regen paddles, pretending I was Sam Bird behind the wheel of a Formula E, up and down, more regen, less regen, roll on a little bit, slow down more, try not to use the brake pedal. It's great fun. Had a lot of fun in that, and very difficult to do car launches at the moment, but they managed it with a bit of style. And there is a rotary engine version of the MX-30 coming, although the rotary engine not connected to the wheels, I'm led to believe. It'll be a range extender for those who want to go a bit further with their electric power. That's going to get pulses racing among the Mazda fraternity. 12 3/4 minutes to go. We've gone back to green. And there's a Corvette, I think, leading everybody out. it's the grey and white one. So the grey, white and red one, that's the four car, yes? With the red mirrors. Oh, no, they've all got red mirrors.
Yeah,
all right. Okay, yes.
GTLM have
red mirrors. That doesn't help me. Okay, but that grey and white is the four. Right, so the silver and sort of silvery and black one is the three.
The silver and red is the three.
Okay. So that has a red stripe over the top.
It should be the shade bands should be the distinguishing features. I believe the four has a black shade band and the three has a white one on the windshield.
That is absolutely correct. But it does have a sort of magentary red accents on it, whereas the other one has white. So that's all right. And you said this was the silver anniversary of their partnership with Mobil 1, yes?
Yes, correct, and that's why they've done it, and especially for this race, being Mobil 1 12 hours of Sebring, it's got a little bit extra meaning to everybody involved.
Saturday race, of course, at IMSA Radio. Hello to Sean Creech Motorsport. Tuned in. What time is it back in the UK? Coming up to 7 on a Thursday evening. What else are you going to be doing? There's no decent movies on the television. The cricket's finished. And so, why aren't you tuned in? Tell your friends. Get on Twitter. Get on the social networks. And we've got some racing live in sound and vision for you, whether you're in the States or further afield. Coming up later on today, we've got Mazda MX-5 Race 3, round 3 of the season for 45 minutes. And then the debut of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. Very excited for that, Jeremy. Very excited for that.
Yeah, it's and qualifying took place a little while ago. The top 10 are covered by just over a second. Bear in mind, of course, this is you're over 2 minutes around here, so that's a pretty stout, tight field. And I'm super excited for that to get going. I agree.
We were expecting probably around about 15 of the new Type 992s when I spoke to Dr. Daniel Ambruster at the tail end of 2020. We've ended up with 23, albeit split across two classes, the Pro and the Pro-Am, and add to that around a dozen of the 997 second generation cars, which will be running this year in their own category. That gives a good field, a very good field indeed. And I can't wait to see the new Carrera Cup car, very much taking inspiration from the GT3. Porsche speak, everything's GT3, but the GT3 category car, the GT Daytona car, particularly with some of the aerodynamic styling, the front splitter, the swan neck mounting for the rear aerofoil, which has more adjustment than ever before, and still the flat 6.4 litre churning out over 500 horsepower and doing it in a particularly nice way. Just my opinion, of course. So just, I think, 8 cars out on the circuit at the moment. Magnussen's Chip Ganassi Cadillac in the pit at the moment. Felipe Nasr is out for Whelan in the 31. Mustang Samplings, Sebastian Bourdais in the red and white number 5. Ollie Pla behind the wheel of the Mayer Shank racing with Curb Agaginian Acura. Just ahead of Philippe Albuquerque for the Konica Minolta Acura ERX 05. That's the 10. And Ollie Jarvis, the 55. So that has been an improvement at some stage for the Konica Minolta. Another issue out on the far side of the circuit. And this time that was at Tower at 13 for the number 3 Corvette with the red accents. There's nothing wrong with... I want to say now, by the way, any Corvette fans and anybody at Corvette Racing, there's nothing wrong at all with the livery. I actually really like it. I think the one with the red on in particular is very, very striking indeed. It's just my... I'm getting old, Jeremy. My brain won't process that as a Corvette when I glance up and look to the other side of the circuit.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to take some getting used to, that one is.
Is this just a one race deal as far as we know, Shea?
Yes, right. Yes, it is.
Phew.
Well, yeah, but we'll probably be used to it after 12 hours.
Well, that's a fair point, well made and beautifully presented, Mr. Shaw. Yes, just when we're getting used to it. Yes. Yeah, very good. In GT Daytona, GT Le Mans rather, at the moment, it's Cooper McNeil's WeatherTech Racing Porsche that's top of the pile with a 156.8. 57.4 for Bruno Spengler, with the two BMWs running in tandem, second and third, 25 and 24. Gustav Farfus behind the wheel of the 24 car with a 57.7. Then it's Nick Tandy for Corvette with a 57.7 as well. Antonio Garcia for the number 3 Corvette team is also out there at the moment in that car with the red accents. Antonio with a 158.0. That's the times there. We're all done with P2, and it's PR1 Matheson with a 150.224. About 0.4 of a second ahead of Wynn Autosport. So 52 from 11 from 4... The DPI that's out of kilter because they haven't done the lap. So who's third in P2? I mean, Guy Smith and United Autosport in the 22. And then it's Era Motorsport in the 18. These are all Oricas, of course, and Tower Motorsport in the fifth position in P3. It is Riley Motorsport, number 91, with 157.3. From... Riley Motorsports in second place with another lease year. The 74 car, Spencer Piggott last at the wheel of that with a 157.7, and the top three made up by Sean Creech Motorsport, who we mentioned on Twitter at the moment or two ago. It was Joao Barbosa last in the 33 car, 158.8. And in GT Daytona, Mauro Engel for Sun Energy One tops the times with a 201.111 with Steven No, with Turner Motorsport in second, actually. Robbie Fawley in the 96 car with the 201.3. 201.3 as well for GRT Grasso Racing Team, and the new boy Stephen Simpson getting some laps under his belt. From Allegra, the two Vassar Sullivan Lexus, and the seventh position is Paul Miller Racing, but nothing between them. Fractions of a second. And the GTD... top time there, Jeremy, set not by Mauro Engel, but in fact in fact, by Mick Grenier, who was in the car earlier on.
Yeah, indeed so. It's a very good effort by the Canadian there in that car number 75, distinctive car, carrying a slightly different livery this week in recognition of St. Paddy's Day. That's very cool. Robbie Foley was the second fastest time. The GRT Lamborghini, it was Tim Zimmermann, German driver, who was third quickest in car number 19. And the Allegra car was Michael De Quesada, who's of course didn't drive at Daytona. He wasn't able to do that one, but he is back here in that car this weekend and has done a good job to set the fourth fastest times. Once again, the Mercedes looking extremely strong as they were at Daytona.
Under 4 minutes to go. And a new time at the top of the standings. Loic Duval for Cadillac, for Mustang Sampling, and for JDC Miller Motorsport. Jeremy Shaw, he's shaved almost a full tenth, but that's a pretty decent effort with the track temperatures where they are.
Yeah, you know, it is pretty warm out there. It's gone up a degree in Celsius, 32 degrees Celsius, the temperature out there right now. So it is pretty hot. It is sticky. It is pretty slick out there. But that lap time is... It's only a tenth of it. Actually, it's gone quicker again. Or Felipe Nasr back to the top now. Car number 31, 147.323. That is faster than the race lap record.
Wow.
That was set back in 2019 by Harry Tinknell. The fastest lap at last year, there were two races unusually at Sebring in 2020 with a very unusual year all the way around. It was the sprint race that was where the quicker times were held in July, 147.6. That was the fastest lap set last year here in race trim. The qualifying lap record was set back in 2019 by Dane Cameron in the Acura 145.8. The pole time last year was a 46.7.
A lot of the DPIs now with this empty track are banging in some pretty quick times. They'll be qualifying at about half noon tomorrow local time, so a wee bit away from the time we are now. But if they're expecting it to be hot, not a daft idea to be doing some quali simulations. Shea, what's the tyre allocation this weekend?
23 sets of tyres for the BPIs and the LMP2s, 18 sets for LMP3 and GTD, and 21 sets for GTLM. And that allocation began at the start of practice one earlier on today. So, they're eating through their tyres already.
Yeah, absolutely. Have we got any changes in the construction or the compounds of tyres for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship? We'll do the other championships when we get to them.
No.
Same as they ever were. Right, okay. Good. Excellent. Into the last minute.
Time's pretty tight now.
Very tight.
The six cars, discounting the one that hasn't been out late, the number 48 car, of course, had that problem earlier on. We don't know what it was, but it had a problem early on. It's completed only six laps, but the other six cars covered by just less than 0.7 of a second. So that bodes fairly well. The Mazda are up to third place there, with Oliver Jarvis, 147.5. So 147.3 for Nasr in number 31, 147.5 for Loic Duval in car number 5. Also 147.5, Oliver Jarvis, car number 55. Kevin Magnussen, who led much of the session in the number 01 Cadillac for Chip Ganassi, is fourth fastest at 147.6. Then 147.8 for Ollie Plaar in car number 60, the Meyer Shank Acura. And then a similar Acura, car number 10 of car number 10, is Philip Albuquerque in sixth position, Daytona winner, down in sixth position, and a 147.994.
Just under 0.7 of a second between that lot, and 0.3 between the top four. So, as Jeremy says, it's tight. Checkered flag has come out, and taking it in the pit lane is Felipe Nasr, who peeled off to the right-hand side out of turn 17 in that Cadillac. And the 12-hour countdown clock, I notice, near to the start-finish line, already been set up with the Rolex, the oversized Rolex timepiece. Don't care how much you love your jewellery, you'd not get that one on your wrist.
It's very windy,
Jeremy, and it's a crosswind across the start-finish line. And I wonder if that's been some of the issues at 10 and 13, where cars...
Well, 17, sure.
17, absolutely, yeah. But that sort of should be in their faces there, if that makes sense. But even so, the problem is if it's gusty. It is very, very blowy. That's your lot. As the checkered flag comes down, Loic Duval and Kevin Magnussen still to see the checkered flag. And as I say that, Loic in the Mustang sampling JDC Miller Cadillac goes across the line. And there's Magnussen going through as well. We've still got Gustav Farfus in the BMW number 24. Antonio Garcia to come through of the GT Le Mans cars. Nick Tandy did his best lap on his last lap before he saw the checkered flag. So some good times at the end there. And although it counts for naught, a quick recap of the classes then. Top of the timing schedule for Whelan Engineering, 147.2. But with the improvements towards the end there as the checkered flag came out. Now the top six only separated by half a second. Pretty much spot on half a second between the top six DPIs. That helped by Philippe Albuquerque putting in a 47.7. On his last lap. LMP2, PR1 Matheson's 52 with a 150.224. WeatherTech lead the GT Le Mans on a 56.8. And in LMP3, it's Riley on a 57.3. And in GT Daytona, Sun Energy 1, the 75 AMG GT3 with a 201.111. More IMSA WeatherTech, the championship. Later on with what is effectively the night session, and we'll have that for you. But we've got in Sound and Vision 2 races before them with Mazda MX-5 coming up at 4:15. We'll be on the air a little bit before that. Sound and Vision, imsaradio.com, and that's followed up very quickly by Porsche Carrera Cup. And Shea Adam can finish this session with the burning question that we had about Kamui Kobayashi and why he was so slow in the 48 Ally Cadillac on his outlap. And this VP Racing Pit and Paddock report, Shea tells us...
it was a throttle issue and they've been looking at the pedal box ever since.
Right, okay. Well, we'll update you on that when we come back. Stay with us on RS2 IMSA Radio with our concussion special coming up next in this gap. If you're away from the circuit, you'll hear that. If you are at the circuit and you want to listen, go to imsaradio.com. Thanks to Jeremy and Shea and to all of our technical team. More racing to come, and we will be racing when you hear our voices again. It's the Idemitsu MX-5 third round, and that will come up in round about an hour's time.
This program is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.